MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
For South African exporters, access to Europe is no longer just about price, quality and tariffs. Increasingly, it's about being able to prove exactly what sits inside your supply chain. What am I talking about? Well, everything from carbon emissions to labour practices. And with the EU's carbon border adjustment mechanism now in force, that could become a serious commercial threat for carbon-intensive South African exporters. So let's put some flesh on the bones on this story. Scott Williams is with us, Director of Business Sustainability at Forvis Mazars South Africa. Scott, welcome back to the programme. Is the European Union then effectively putting up a new trade barrier against South African exporters, given those new demands?
One could see it that way. Certainly not looking at South Africa in isolation, but really outside of the EU. The EU are looking to equalise the playing field or level the playing field when it comes to carbon-intensive products like iron, steel, aluminium, cement, etc. Within the EU, there are existing, you know, prices with their emissions trading scheme that EU-based suppliers are, you know, in scope for. And the CBAM initiative, Carbon Border Adjustment Mechanism, really is looking to level that playing field, as I say, by putting similar tariffs, if you like, onto non-EU suppliers based on the direct carbon and indirect carbon emissions attached to these products to really level the playing field for EU suppliers. So yes, it is a challenge for South African exporters into the EU, that's for sure.
And it's a big challenge because, as I understand it, 98% of our exports currently enter duty-free. How much of that advantage then could CBAM actually wipe out?
So it's really looking at specific sectors right now, specific products: iron, steel, aluminium, cement, fertilizers, hydrogen, electricity. Some of those much more applicable to South African, you know, the South African exports to the EU than others. But I do feel that, you know, CBAM is a new initiative. It only became fully enacted and active in 2026. And I do think further products will be added to it. And I'm sure that, you know, some of those, as they are, will be highly relevant to South African exporters as well, be it from other large-scale commodities, agricultural produce, perhaps. So it's going to have, if anything, an increasing impact on South African exporters rather than a decreasing impact in the next few years.
And our coal-heavy electricity system does make South African products, therefore, structurally less competitive in Europe. But the problem here is, can an exporter realistically fix that problem if Eskom's generation mix is largely out of its control? It's a real conundrum.
It is a real conundrum, yes, because as you say, our energy mix from Eskom is highly coal-intensive. And compared to some non-EU rivals who will also be exporting products to the EU, it does put South African producers at a disadvantage. We've seen in areas like the mining sector and other industries, our companies trying to reduce their reliance on Eskom through their own renewable energy infrastructure, be that solar on land that they have at mining sites or other examples as well. But you know, those are more isolated examples, I would say, and on a broader scale, yes, the Eskom grid composition presents a huge challenge for South African companies looking to send their product to the EU.
You argue that transparency is becoming a condition of market access, all well and good, so there will be specific data that European buyers will demand. I guess the question is, how many South African businesses can produce that information when asked for it?
So, yeah. Another big challenge. And, you know, I think if we look at our JSE top 40 and our largest listed companies, they typically already have strong data on their environmental footprint, also their social and labour practices, human rights, etc., across, certainly if not their entire supply chain, across the major components of their supply chain. I think the risk and the challenge lies at the level just below that. So perhaps our listed companies who are not of that, you know, top 40, top 100 scale, and also our large private companies who, you know, do have a lot of export to the EU as well and other markets where, even if it's not a regulation or a legislated demand, they want to know about the provenance of what they are buying in terms of the environmental footprint and social impacts, so your labour rights, human rights, especially if core components or initial initial ingredients, if you want to call them that, are coming from areas where there is a known issue with human rights or labor rights, which can be the case across aspects, across the African continent.
Is there a danger that smaller exporters could be locked out because compliance is too onerous and complex and expensive?
Yes, I think there is a risk of that, Jeremy. I think the way that companies get to grips with that risk, especially those smaller exporters, is through that transparency, is through direct communication with customers in the EU or other areas where this kind of information is needed and demanded, and really starting to work on a plan, a timeline of how they can get to where they need to be to satisfy those customers' demands. And, I always say start now. You can take it in bite-sized chunks if there's a lot of work to do. And really the key thing is not to take the old ostrich approach of bury your head in the sand and hope that this goes away, because the reality is that it won't.
Fair point. So what would inform that plan immediately then if you're going to tackle it in bite-sized chunks?
Okay, so I think immediately would be engaging with your largest customers where they have these demands and getting the exact specifics of what they need. Once you have that kind of lay of the land or understanding of what the requirements are, you can then, work with a consulting partner to understand what is the low-hanging fruit, what areas can I immediately address without too much effort or expense, and what are those areas that are going to be intensive, will take me a bit longer, and where I need some more help, and almost coming up with that very detailed plan on how you're going to address it. And that's actually something, in my experience, that those customers welcome. If they can see that you have a tangible plan, you've got action points, and you can monitor it, they really are willing to engage and work with you, in my experience.
Just a final question. If I'm an exporter, I might be asking myself, at what point does legitimate climate regulation, such as we're talking about, start looking like green protectionism?
Yeah, it's a very, very valid question, and we could open Pandora's box going through that one. I do think there is definitely a strong element of protectionism of EU industrial producers as a result of things like CBAM and even the broader sustainability reporting requirements within the EU. I think that is a very fair comment. I think for South African industries and South African producers, the key thing is then thinking, what does this mean for my long-term strategy? Is it going to be an obstacle which is almost immovable and difficult to get over, or can I adjust my approach and how do I do it proactively to make sure that I'm not left behind and I don't lose key customers and key markets? It's not a one size fits all. I think every company has to look at it in their own circumstances, I guess.
Scott Williams, thank you very much indeed. You're the Director of Business Sustainability at Forvis Mazars South Africa.